your host, Eric Balance, and this is the Resilient Minds Podcast. Join me as I explore the capabilities of our minds and how our X factor can become our Y factor. Now is our time. Awesome. So welcome everybody to the Resilient Minds Podcast. I'm super pumped, excited for everyone to be here. Today we got my man Tyler, functional foods, bro.
Yeah.
Super excited to have you here.
Dude, thank you for having me, Eric.
Yeah, bro. You know, it's so fascinating. I was just saying to everybody that, if you're coming in live or if you're watching back the recording, this is our first actual in-person podcast. So I'm really excited to, do this for the first time with you.
I know. This is big. I'm excited to be here.
Right? And we got the beach. I'm feeling the waves, coming in. I'm feeling the wind. I'm feeling, the energy of this beautiful place in Tulum coming from Mexico. But for those of you that don't know Tyler, I really want to give a little bit of acknowledgement. A lot, because he's done some pretty epic things, and he's got this brilliant mind that he just wants to serve and really give to back to humanity. And if you aren't yet following him on Instagram, go check him out at Functional Foods. Is it functional.foods or Functional Foods?
Functional.foods.
Functional.foods, and you'll see how much value he's adding to the world. But nonetheless, besides that, Tyler's a fourth-year naturopath medical student who really attends National University of Natural Medicine in Portland.
Yep, Portland, Oregon.
Beautiful. His journey in medicine began in college when he fell in love with food. We got something in common, bro.
Yeah.
Food, bro, yes.
Love to eat.
Love to eat. He's always had this firm believing in educating others and about their health, their vitality, their ability to practice and their unique responsibility. And he finds that he has an opportunity to be this teacher and mentor and encourage others to really create that health and empowerment of self-responsibility.
Yeah.
So, as you continue to, deal with patients or the general public with this knowledge necessary for living healthy, happy, and essentially, the sustainable lifestyle, You really, came down and understood that as a society over the course of the years, you've been able to manifest this different ideology of general practice. Am I right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So toward more rather preventative, natural approach to medicine rather than that conventional, how would you call it?
Standard of care, where it's typically a pill for every ill, and a lot of it is masking symptoms or managing diagnoses, and it's really not addressing the underlying root causes to why are you sick in the first place, right? Yeah. And taking this proactive approach where it's not the doctor that's going to heal you. You have to take self-responsibility and heal yourself with the guidance of the doctor. The doctor will give you the tools, but ultimately it's not up to the doctor. It's up to you to want to have that willpower to make a difference and make these lifestyle changes that I think are the, the pillars for foundational health. When we talk about health, right? Healthcare. I don't think we practice true healthcare in the United States. A lot of it is based on a disease-based model, and it's really sick care. You're managing sick patients as opposed to this empowerment piece that I'm very passionate about giving people the tools and the knowledge necessary so that they can cultivate health on a daily basis.
Bro, this is gonna be epic. You guys see the brilliance, the energy, the intensity, and obviously there's passion here, right? So, going right into it, I really wanna just first of all, acknowledge and thank you for your time. I think it's really important as time is our most precious resource, and giving that to the community, to whoever's listening live, to anybody that's following. Because I think that we never take advantage. Some people think that they have an infinite amount of time, but I do think that that's our most precious. So thank you, bro.
Yes. Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
Bless you, bro. With Resilient Minds, the first thing that we always talk about, man, is how our experiences, which I like to call our X factor, have contributed to our big Ys, our Y factor. And I find that, we've all been through these circumstances, these elements, these conditions in life, much like, a lot of the general public that's out there. And what they do is they really create this essence of you know, making decisions based off the conditions rather than understanding that they can, it doesn't matter what that decision or sorry, what that condition looks like, they have the power to create a decision and, you know, based off of, you know, their thoughts, their actions, the results, right? Mm-hmm. So today I'd love to, like, you know, just so everybody gets a little bit to know about, you know, Tyler and your story, I'd love to, you know, if, what has been your experience through life, right? To really go into this preventative understanding of medicine, naturopathy. And then what has allowed you to change that approach of like, why am I going to now do that? How did you call it again? That's conventional wet medicine, but like, what was it that you used a really
standard of care.
Yeah. Rather focusing on the preventative and the sustainable lifestyle. Yeah. What was something that, you know, first and foremost, gave you the hunger and the want and the need to really jump into that? But second of all, how to position yourself now in a different capacity where you want to serve rather than, you know, be the standard of care like you said.
Yeah. Well, I think you've brought up a number of great points. And even how you said, like, taking power or control into your own hands. I think a lot of people that end up being healers and they get to the health and wellness space, they had some obstacle or, you know, impediment to health or, you know, that they had to overcome. And so for me, I had my own health issues growing up. The biggest one being a learning disability, ADHD, that I was diagnosed with. I also have been diagnosed with generalized anxiety disorder. And I had this atopy kind of triad of kind of asthma and eczema. So a skin rash, basically.
Yep.
And then I also had high blood pressure. And so a lot of these things, when you think about how we practice medicine in the United States and kind of wanting to go against the grain, I've always kind of been this person that, you know, has always beat to my own drum. I've always been very independent. But, you know, I really wanted to take matters into my own hands because I got frustrated with the conventional care system, which largely will classify your symptoms and give you a diagnosis of a disease. Mm-hmm. Based on that, you can bill through insurance through an ICD-10 code. And then based on that, there is, you know, an algorithm that you kind of follow. That standard of care is, this is the medication you prescribe for X disease. And every person gets the same treatment. I realized, though, that we are all unique individuals. So just because maybe I have anxiety or ADHD and you have anxiety or ADHD doesn't mean that you may express your ADHD or anxiety the same way that I do. It can all have different root causes.
Yep.
And oftentimes too, with standard of care and the way that we treat things, especially chronic related conditions like ADHD, like anxiety, or like diabetes or eczema, is to suppress and or manage symptoms, where there really isn't this emphasis on eradicating or identifying the root cause, the root imbalances that have, you know, contributed to this expression of a disease. Mm. So for me, I had those health challenges and wanted to take matters into my own hands. I was an athlete. I swam Division I at the University of California, Santa Barbara. And I mentioned that I first kind of made this shift around nutrition. At the time, I ate more of what was considered a standard American diet. And, you know, really wanting to elevate my performance, my ability to perform on a daily basis, but also recover, to take that athleticism to another level, I started to really look at nutrition as a new tool that I could utilize and optimize to enhance my athletic performance. So that's when I really started to dive into that and kind of to decide, like, you know, what it led me to this journey of what is the best diet for everyone. Because you may hear from some people that veganism is the best, that keto is the best, that everybody needs to be eating
it's
a low,
all based on their kind of like opinion, really.
Right? Yeah, it can get so dogmatic, right? Yeah. And so, you know, basically through this journey, I've tried a lot of different things. And through this journey too, I've failed a number of times. And I think that's one thing that athletics has taught me a lot, the sense of resiliency, where you try, you fail, but you step back up and you take a different approach, yeah. Right? Yeah. But oftentimes I think we live in this fear-based state where we don't even try because we are afraid to fail or afraid of rejection, whatever that is. And we want to kind of live in our comfort zone, right? Mm-hmm. But we know that a lot of that growth really happens outside of that comfort zone and in this area and realm of discomfort. So taking that path that I know wasn't easy, wasn't necessarily spoon-fed to me, like going the typical route of becoming an MD or becoming a DO, and deciding that I want to do something different. And I want something that really looks at the whole person and takes a more preventative approach, a more proactive approach, where you have the tools and the knowledge so you're not dependent on somebody else with your health. If your health is the most important thing to me, which it is for me, I don't want to put that reliability in someone else. I want to take full responsibility for that.
Health is wealth, bro.
So I had to put my head down and I had to do the work.
I love it. And you know, and I think that, you know, one thing too is like understanding is like you don't have to, and I love that you did, but a lot of the people that may be listening, they're like, okay, doesn't mean that I have to go be a doctor. Okay. I just want to iterate that. Like, you don't have to go be a doctor just because, you know, Tyler ended up going doing that. But what I love is that you did, you said like, you know, health is wealth. This is what's going to change. I want to understand. I'm curious. And I want to, whatever it takes to go out there and create something and make it better so that I can evolve and take the initiative so that I can down the line, you know, create that legacy of purpose and continue to serve in that capacity. And you do that every day. You know, I see the value that you add online. I see that you continuously do that and you cultivate and you've been doing it for years now.
Yeah, almost 4 years now.
Yeah, and you can obviously tell by like, you know, the way that your audience loves you and adores you, right?
Thank you.
And that's huge, man. So you went on this profound journey and you've evolved to this future self that you've come. What was there a defining moment, like one significant moment that you could think back and say like, wow, that really allowed me to realize how important my health is, how important like, you know, my health is to the future self, to what I want to do so I can cultivate my, you know, my persistent evolution to this like state of being that I, you know, envision myself to be, or how I can help others to create that big why, that like that why to serve. Was there like, and maybe it was just recent.
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think, you know, here's something I found is I started on Instagram and trying to help other people as I was understanding things. And I'll tell you that I didn't know everything. You just kind of stumble out there and you're fumbling and you kind of are just finding your way. And I found a lot of community, something that I was really looking for because, you know, I think, you know, you talk about loneliness and how it's such an epidemic this day and age. And some people, they're lonely because they literally don't have other people that they're interacting with. But there's also this lonely piece that I felt where it's like people don't understand me and my point of view. Yeah. And so for me, I was seeking that community of like-minded individuals. And by sharing my story, that was healing to me. And by giving, you know, and serving others, that it was just like this full circle approach where it was just very fulfilling to me. And it kind of kept me on this journey that so many people are seeking answers and I was seeking those answers too. So why not share my journey and help to cultivate and create community? Because I think community, especially this day and age when so many people are stressed, they're lonely, they're afraid. I think community is central and having a sense of purpose. You look at some of these places where, you know, some of the longest lived areas in the world, which we call blue zones, where you have the most densely populated area of centenarians. One of the biggest factors that I think contributes to their longevity is having that community into the later parts of their age, having a sense of purpose and belonging. And I just think about that, you know, we're so fragmented this day and age. And I think to go far, you got to go, you know, you're going to go far with other people as opposed to doing it alone. So I think one of these new realizations, like, yes, add value, provide for others, and it has helped heal me on my journey. But, you know, not being afraid to ask for help and how I can kind of cultivate this sense of community, because I think as a community at large, that is how we're going to create awareness and change the way that we not only view health, but practice medicine here in the United States and at large, away from the sick care model, and actually change the medical system and how we practice and cultivate health. And that should be the central key, not just treating disease, focusing on health.
I love how, like, you know, community really was something that you touched on multiple different ways. And it's like you said, you know, one thing that I really love is like go far, go together, right? Yeah. So it's like that old saying, if you want to go fast, go alone. But if you want to go really far and you want to get lots done, you know, build a team, build a collective and grow together, right?
Yeah.
And it's like with community and, you know, as we, you know, we met here at this beautiful location here in Tulum and, you know, everyone here seems to be like very like community focused. It's like that conscious level of like approach. And we feel that here in the city. And I'm finding this like sense of community is very vivid here, and it's oftentimes like, you know, that's how we met, right?
Yeah.
We just started talking about like this evolution of you know, resiliency and consciousness and creativity and
yeah.
and what's possible. And one thing that I know is that being able to have that genuine conversation where, you know, we feel each other's heart space and we want to like actually serve, that's how we build this trust. And you talked about it in a profound way where you've been able to do that and cultivate that through so much. What do you think that, you know, somebody that may be starting right now, maybe whether it's online, whether it's in their business, whether it's in, you know, med school, whether it's, you know, going into naturopathy, maybe somebody that doesn't have all the tools that you have today, what would you suggest to them, somebody listening right now and saying, you know, you're getting started, you're uncertain, what's the first step?
I mean, the first thing that came to mind is like, you know, if you're looking at, you know, what gives you goosebumps? Like what do you want to go after in life? You know, if what you're doing doesn't align with you, if you're out of alignment with yourself and your job, then, you know, I think that's a message from the universe saying that, you know, maybe you're off course and you need to reconsider things. And, you know, if things haven't worked out in your current profession and you're kind of like trying to decide, like, do I leave this job? Do I embark on something new? And how and what do I do, right? I think the universe is always sending us signals. And it's like, you know, if something's not working out, maybe that it's a message from the subconscious that I'm not on the right path.
Yeah.
And so to listen, I think there's a powerful aspect of being in tune with your body and knowing how you respond to your environment. But for those people, I think it's listen in, go after what gives you goosebumps. And you have to remember that I think like the key is consistency. So, you know, if you are seeing people that have this success and they're doing these things that you want to do, whether that is to be a physician, to live this life of abundance, to have autonomy, to travel the world, you can't compare yourself to somebody that has already put in, you know, 4, 5, 10 years of work, right? You're on your own journey. So you got to stay in your own lane. But know that those people got there with consistency. And so, you know, you have to just remember that, you know, you have to be consistent. I think that's the big thing. And then have a vision, and you got to know how to execute it, right?
Execution, man. You have a man. That's it. It's all about execution. It's like, you know, we always talk about this, you know, knowledge is potential power. It's not power. It's only power once you execute, right? And really making sure that when you're executing, it's the fundamental and most important thing to making sure that that vision becomes reality. So describe the process. I mean, describe the process of your evolution as like really this, you know, how health has been a fundamental factor for you. Describe how that process like has been embedded inside of your, like has been embedded or embodied for you. Because, you know, I see you, you're always training. You're always moving around. You're eating really well. You know, you're meditating. You're listening to things. Like, what's your process like for you to cultivate this health, this fitness, this mindset approach to really creating the next level for you?
Yeah, you know, it really did start for me as an athlete, being a competitive athlete for 15 years, and just establishing that work ethic, that passion, that drive, and this desire to always better myself, this growth-based aspect. And so I do, you know, check in with myself, but I'm always staying open-minded to new ideas and, you know, theories, opinions, whatever that is, because I constantly want to learn. In a way, it almost scares me to be complacent or to feel stagnant in life. So I'm always looking at how I can grow and surrounding myself by other people that elevate me and challenge me. And so, you know, it started as an athlete, I'll say that, but also like, you know, coming to this realization with health too, that maybe I want to do all these things and I want that autonomy. I want to serve all these people and I have, you know, all these desires and passions in life, but really none of it even matters if you don't have your health first, right? So it was just kind of that realization, like health really is the most important thing in life. If you don't have your health, you don't have life in a sense, right? So if you want to travel, you want to make all this money, you want, you know, the most amazing conscious relationships, like if you're not healthy, how are you going to be able to invest that time and energy if you don't even have the energy to take care of yourself? Yeah. So that was something that was kind of just, it was a fundamental realization and a mindset shift. And a lot of times when we talk about medicine, it's this watch and wait game where we're going to let you do you. We're not going to try to, you know, tell you what to do, and you live your lifestyle. And then when things get bad and you get diagnosed with a disease, then we'll intervene and we'll just try to manage symptoms as opposed to this educational, proactive, preventative approach, right? Yeah. That like, why wait for something bad to happen or a diagnosis to happen that can be life-changing to then make all these changes to your lifestyle? Why wait? Why not start now? Mm-hmm. Start small. Right? I understand for a lot of people it can be overwhelming. And for me too, it was overwhelming. What people may see now is something that I have, you know, slowly, you know, refined and crafted over 8 years now.
Wow.
So if people see Tyler doing the meditation and dry brushing and hydrotherapy and, you know, morning walks and, you know, all the time management that I do to fit in all of these aspects that make sure that I'm running on all cylinders. Like, I didn't start there. Yeah. I started with the little bits and pieces. And here's the thing is someone would be like, where do you start, right? And there can be kind of like principles and like, you know, the basic building blocks, the foundation to start. But for each person, they may be at a different place in their journey. So for one person, maybe, you know, eating more foods from home, scratch meals, like cooking in the kitchen, yeah, eating more whole nourishing foods, that's more approachable to some. For other people, maybe they don't have a working kitchen. Maybe, you know, they live in a food desert. And so food, you know, they get what is convenient to them and what's around them. No shame, right? I think we're all trying to do our best. But maybe it's like, I'm going to try to cultivate more of a mindfulness-based practice. Mm-hmm. Because by that, I'm going to be less reactive to my environment. I'm going to be more grounded. And I'll be more productive that way. And I'll be able to consciously create more of this life that I want in that way. So, you know, again, there's these kind of pillars.
Yeah.
But every person's going to be at a different place. So I think recognizing that and realize that it comes back to, again, that consistency thing, showing up for yourself on a daily basis so you can show up for other people.
If you touched, I love this because you touched on something really powerful here, and it's like the conscious creation of our, like, of our reality, essentially, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, health is wealth, you know, all of this, you know, it really interloops with one another. So what is it, what changed in your practices where you decided that you needed to have a little bit more mindfulness, right? About your life, about what you wanted to accomplish. Because you went out to become a doctor.
Yeah.
Right? And the conventional side of things was what you originally wanted to do. Am I right?
Yeah.
And so when that transition, you created this new element of understanding in your own consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
And what was that like to just really, I don't know if it was maybe to surrender the question that I'm asking for, or maybe like just believe, or maybe give yourself a better approach of, or not a better, but like a different approach of really understanding how you wanted to serve. Because I think that awakening for all of us,
mm-hmm,
you know, if you want to call it an awakening, I call it an awakening.
Yeah.
It was like, for me, it was like, I think I've had multiple spiritual awakenings. What has that been like for you? Because I know that that's like, when I speak to you and when you share that, I feel it like intuitively.
Mm-hmm.
And so I really want to capture that, because I think some people think, oh, you know, just because he's into medicine, or, you know, he's theoretical. And, you know, I have clients that are like, you know, MDs, and they're amazing, right? They think in this huge capacity, right, as well. Like, they have this consciousness. But what I love is that there are MDs, there are big doctors that are like, they understand the theory, you know, and all of these different practices, Ayurveda or Chinese medicine,
mm-hmm,
or whatever the
yeah
case may be. And now they've created this new level of awakening inside of themselves that now is able to trickle down and really serve and support their patients or their clients. So what was that awakening like? You know, what is it? Is it something that you continue to practice every day?
Mm-hmm.
And how important is it to you?
That's a big question to unpack.
I love it.
I think to start, just, you know, I've never really adopted to kind of like a herd-based mentality, because I do truly believe in bio-individuality, meaning that just because it works for someone else doesn't mean it's going to work for you. And we're all on our different journeys and at different places on that journey. And you think about health at large. And why is it that someone can smoke, you know, 6-pack cigarettes a day and eat a highly refined processed diet and drink a bunch of alcohol and not sleep, and they could outlive somebody else that maybe is doing all the right things?
Yeah.
What, how does that environment interact with that person's genome to actually change the way that that person is reacting to their environment and either creating a state of health or disease? Like, there's more to health than just the physical. It's important. That's what we focus on a lot of time in medicine, but there's the spirituality, there's mindfulness, right? There's, you know, more to health than just the absence of disease and looking at the physical body. So I think it was kind of like, as I learned more and I got more of these golden nuggets, it just, it made things more clear for me. It made me question things more. I've always been someone that's like, you know, I have a broad knowledge base. So question everything and think critically. I think this day and age, and sometimes where I get frustrated with medicine, is like, we're taught all this information, so much about the human body and its complexities. But oftentimes you learn all that only to be told that when you diagnose someone with this disease, this is what you do. It almost removes that aspect of critical thinking that I encourage and I desire. And I think it removes that creativity from, you know, being a physician. And a physician on one end is being evidence-informed, following the literature, being able to read the literature, and, you know, using the guidelines that are established for standard of care. But also it's an art at the same time. It's how you relate and with the patient in front of you and meeting them where they're at. Like,
the soft skills.
It's the energy that, you know, you receive, and, you know, empathy, you know. So I just, as I have matured and I have gone through this journey, it has softened me in different ways. It's opened my eyes to different ways of thinking, as opposed to just being very set in my ways and closed-minded. And so I really think, like, if I'm answering your question correctly, like, that has been my view and this journey for me that makes me always want to learn more, always ask more questions. And one of the things that I love, curiosity, is that in the field of medicine, and what I love about it is that I will forever be a student. I will never stop learning. Like, yes, I may have finished all my didactic training, you know, and you see patients, but your patients are your teachers too.
Constant, never ending improvement.
Right? Yep. So I think that is fulfilling to me. And again, you know, for what? Like, what is this journey that I'm on? Yes, it's you know, self-betterment and it's growth. But, you know, what is ultimately the destination with that? I think it's up to interpretation for every person. But I think at the core of all of it as humans is we want to serve others. We want to connect with others. We are social beings. So, you know, community, I think, is at the forefront of what makes us human. And then couple that with love and security and meaning. Like, those, I think, are just powerful qualities that I think unite all of us and, you know, make us human.
I love it. So as you shared that, what was the big thing? Because so as you experienced, you know, learning from others, you wanted to consistently and never ending improve. Mm-hmm. So that obviously gave you this opportunity to go out there and create this maybe circumstance, or maybe you went out there and found something, or what was it that specifically gave you a moment where, not specific, and I don't need it to be specific, because I know sometimes it's not just like a one aha moment.
Yeah.
But that, even that curiosity where you now realize, man, like, and was it like for me, I went to Costa Rica and I had this like massive, like, wow, holy shit. I am so much like, I have this opportunity of life, and, you know, I'm so much more connected with people, and I want to just like serve people. And I didn't know how, right? But I just knew that there was something within me that I needed to learn how to figure out what I can do to connect, what I can do to serve, and what I could do to, like, and for me, it was connecting to my creator, connecting to, you know, my universe, meditating, working out, listening to really good things, you know, taking in great leaders, you know, learning from my mentor, Tony, right? Like, that was something that for me, like, was a must now. Is a must, right? So once I realized that, it gave me this define of, like, I'm on my path and I'm going all in, right?
Yeah.
So that was my awakening. And I think that, you know, so many of us may go through that. And So I guess that was kind of like how I see the relationship for you was like you seeing it in other people and being like, I need to do something different. Am I correct in understanding?
Yeah. You know, there's also this real weird way that I don't even know how to explain it. Like in Ayurvedic medicine, they talk about your dharma, like your purpose. Yep. And it's just like, I feel the most alive and most in alignment with myself when I am serving other people.
Yeah.
And I am sharing that message of health. And I think as like fellow humans, we want to support each other. We want each other to thrive. And so that's just something like, it just feels right. There's this energy to it that I don't even know how I can put it into words, but I think it's just dharma. It's your purpose. I love
it. It's your purpose. And you know, I think that, that at the end of the day is what we all have this magnificent purpose in ourselves. I think, and when we don't necessarily have a clear path of getting there, it's that resilience inside of ourselves to really redefine how we're going to continue pushing, right? How we're going to continue making it and how we're going to continue to add value. Because I find that when we struggle, sometimes our ego will hold us back or it won't give us the opportunity to win. And what I find in myself, in my own experience, was like, it's easier to go backwards, right? It's easier to make that decision, and that resiliency to push forward, it creates the courage, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I really, you know, want to impress upon anybody that's listening or watching right now to really take a moment and say, listen, what do I want to achieve? How, you know, why do I want to achieve it? And don't worry about the how, because the road is long. And when we have people that come across us sometimes with opposite views, you know, we can relate to them based on where they're at. And that doesn't mean that we need to stay where they're at or you need to stay there. And I find that in my essence, in my energy, when people have these opposite views from us, whether it's health, whether it's, you know, business, whether it's experience, whether it's life, I find that for me, I used to be extremely sensitive to it and I would want to stay away or like push people away.
Yeah.
How do you approach people when they have different or opposite views from you?
It's a really good question. And, you know, I think that something that has actually come up recently is politics, just because of, you know, we're, you know, a little over a month out from the election. And, you know, there's certain people that I don't have same political views as, but I still see them as human, and it's okay for us to disagree and we can still be friends and like not see eye to eye, but being open-minded to other people's points of view. Like just because they have a certain belief or identify with a certain party, why should I, you know, not identify with this person or just say like, okay, this person, it can't be for me. It's like, yes, give a person a chance. But I think also like, we kind of put ourselves and compartmentalize ourselves with like labels, and we identify with certain labels like I'm a Democrat or I'm a Republican or I'm a homosexual or I'm heteronormative or like, you know, I'm an American, whatever that is. Yeah. Right. So, you know, we aren't any of these I am statements, even like I'm a physician or I'm an author, I'm a dad. You like think about all these titles and labels that we give ourselves. But if you were to strip yourself of those labels, who are you at the core? Like, what do you stand for? Right. And I think I truly believe that all people mean well and they're good people, but past experiences and unfortunate things that have happened to them have shaped them to be who they are today. And I think a lot of that is from the modeling and programming from a young age that that person endured. And so I sympathize with those people, and seeing people in vulnerable states in a clinical practice, you soften up and you understand that underneath those wounds, or you put those political things aside, like they're still human. They're still people. Yeah. Even think about how people will like, you know, put other people on pedestals or celebrities and stuff like that. And it's just like, I just have to always like check myself. It's like, you know, they're still people.
Yeah.
They're still people. They're still human.
So
something about humanizing.
And I think that what I really caught there too is like where a soul or a spirit having a human experience.
Yeah.
You know, that's who so many of us are, is we're having a human experience through spirit, through soul, through whatever. And we're able to, like, you know, use this vessel to mm-hmm. execute on things that our minds really go through. And you touched it really cool. Like, I agree, like, the whole conditioning on others, I think it's great. Based off of our parents' experiences, our parents' sure. parents' experiences,
yeah.
or any of that. So, you know, you've given us such a beautiful path of success, especially like when it comes to like really, you know, creating our own thoughts around health, around how important it is in our. Why would you say people fail when it comes to their health and wellness?
I think a lot of people never even start. They never even try.
Yeah.
So I don't even know if I would say that they fail. They never even start the journey.
Yeah.
Because of this, there's a lot of resistance. And I think it's because, you know, lifestyle habits and making changes are difficult. Mm. They're really difficult to break habits in a way. You think about like dietary habits, exercise habits, even adopting some type of mindful-based practice, meditation, right?
Yeah.
There's a lot of resistance because it's uncomfortable.
Yeah.
It's not the norm. We, you know, are operating 95% of the time through the subconscious mind. And so, you know, we are basically just repeating these habits that we've instilled over a lifetime. And a lot of these things are, again, what has been modeled for us growing up.
Yeah.
So it just makes it really difficult unless you set out an intention that I want to change and this is how it's going to change my life. If you don't show up consistently on a daily basis, like, you know, it's going to be difficult. I think that's where accountability really helps. Having a tribe, right? Because together you can go far.
Immersion.
Right?
Yeah.
So I think a lot of, you know, that's one piece. I think the other piece too is not having the knowledge or the education. But at the same time too, you can have all the knowledge and education, but there is not this execution. And I have seen that even kind of being in this education space that I may provide all of this free knowledge, but people still don't capitalize.
Yeah.
They still don't execute it. And so is there this fear thing? Is it resources? You think about money. There's always this talk about that in health, that health is elitist, it's exclusive. Health and wellness, you know, is expensive to get good medical care, to eat whole foods, to access gyms. And I would agree that some of these things that we chalk up to being health can be very expensive. But I would also say there's a lot of what I call free medicine out there, right? You can go and walk. You can earth, you can ground, you can put your feet on the bare on the earth's surface and soak up and absorb those negative ions to, you know, harmonize yourself with the earth's natural energy. You can read books. I feel like books are relatively accessible and free. And if you want to be an expert on a certain topic, read 10 books on the subject.
Yes.
And you can learn a lot, right?
Yeah.
So like, I understand that not everybody has the resources and the finances that maybe the two of us have. But I think for all of us, we're all at different places. And I've always been the mentality of this slogan of find a way.
Yeah.
Right?
Resourceful.
Not to shame people of like, you know, you're not doing enough or you're just creating excuses. But I've always been of the mentality personally of I'm going to find a way. And maybe it's not the right time, but you know, instead of finding maybe an excuse, like I'm going to be more proactive and be resourceful and try to find a solution.
I love it.
Right?
Yeah.
Like that's my mentality.
And you have this solution-oriented mindset then, rather than always being the problem-focused mindset, right? And it gives you an opportunity to make this decision and say, listen, let's rock it. Let's do whatever it takes to really grow and have this undertaking and understanding of like, I'm going to find a way or I'm going to create one.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
And that's it. And I think that's what resilience really comes down to.
It does.
You know? And I love it. I think that you just really nailed it on the head, bro. Like, I think that was just like a gift that everybody that, you know, that's listening or watching should really take away. One thing I want to, you know, before we, you know, I know we're counting down here, but one thing I really want to ask you is, if anybody wants to understand a little bit more about how to get in contact with you, any resources that you have, where can they reach you? How can they find you? You know, where can they connect?
Yeah, I appreciate that. So I spend most of my time on Instagram. That's probably where I hang out most of the time. Functional Foods, at Functional Foods, functional.foods. And there I share, you know, content pretty regularly on a daily basis. And try to pay it forward from everything that I've learned through my studies and really just I feel like what I'm learning should be accessible to everyone. And so I want to pay it forward. I want to share that. And so Instagram, I'm also on Facebook at eat.functional.foods, kind of a mouthful. But it's really just the same content that is on Instagram. And then I have a website, tylergene.com. Beautiful. And there you can find blogs and resources, you know, products that I use and recommend. I also have an email list that you can sign up for there. And I have a couple different ebooks too that I've created. Beautiful. On helping people transition that are open to or wanting to start to make, you know, this transition to a healthier lifestyle, especially as it pertains to food.
I love it. And check it out, guys, because like I said, you know, he's got so many resources. He loves food. So if any of your foodies out there, you know, make sure that you're checking it out, because it'll be a lot of fun, especially if you want to eat well. Health is wealth. Okay, cool, bro. So last question I have, and I really want to make sure that, you know, this is something that we're taking away, because for me, this is, I ask every one of my guests.
Okay.
If you had 3 days left to live, what would you do?
I would spend those last 3 days with the people that make life meaningful. Mm. Because I really believe that the quality of our life is, you know, determined by the people that we surround ourselves with. Mm. So I'd want to spend it with other people. I'd want to do what I love. And also knowing that, you know, I feel like I have already lived life to the fullest and there's no regrets, right? So.
Blessings, bro. I appreciate you coming on the show, man.
Thank you for having me.
I'm super grateful. I appreciate you so much. Do you have anything, any last words, anything you want to share?
Last words. No matter where you're at on your health journey, know that it is a process, and that along that journey, you're not going to be perfect. Give yourself permission to fail and to get back up and try again. And just because it works for somebody else doesn't mean it's going to work for you. But I think there is a lot of wisdom to gain by maybe trying different diets, trying different approaches, because ultimately you don't even know if it's going to work for you unless you try it and you put yourself out there and you give yourself that permission to fail.
Love it. Thank you, brother. Appreciate
you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, cheers.